You're listening to CJSF at 90.1 FM in Burnaby, where you can engage with us via our website at cjsf.ca or on our social media, which is CJSF Radio on TikTok and Blue Sky, or CJSF Music and CJSF Talk on Instagram.
Talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemon.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning and welcome to CJSF 90.1 FM. You are listening to Intravenous. We're out here in Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem Nations. I am your host, Nicole, and I hope you're doing well this morning. Hope you're welcoming the cooler temperatures. I don't mind it at all. I actually love fall wear, so I am really, really not mad at it at all. To kickstart the show today, I am going to share an interview that one of our volunteer journalists, Zarina, did with a Vancouver band. Their name is Vido, and they are known for their ethereal gothic music, experimental sounds, and dark vocals. So let's take a listen to their conversation.
And welcome to CJSF Radio 90.1 FM. We are live from Burnaby Mountain on the unceded territories of the Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Kwikwetlem Nations. This is Intravenous, the feminist talk show that talks about all things femme and aims to uplift voices within our community. Today, my name is Zarina, and I'm here with Cherie from Vido. This interview will be outlining a little bit about this recent project, as well as the hopes and dreams of this collective as they embark on their current project. To start off, for listeners who don't know you yet, who is Vido and how did this project come together?
So, Vido. That's such a big question. So, it all started back in 2024, where I bought Omnicord, which is a type of retro synth. And I wanted to experiment with more electronic music since pretty much all my life I've been playing with classical instruments. So when I was 6, I played the piano. And then when I was 17, I learned how to play the harp. And then throughout my life, I've always written poetry, always written songs, but never published any of it or recorded it. So then, 2024 came along and I bought this magical instrument called the Omnicord, and I decided to experiment with it and see how it would shape the lyrics, composing, and how it would shape my poetry as well. And then I became curious. So I contacted my friend Sunny, who plays the bass, and we started to experiment with the songs I wrote with the Omnicord and with their bass. And then from there, I was like, I wonder how these songs would sound with violins, because I love classical music. And since I was trained classically, I really wanted to incorporate some of those roots into my work and also experiment with classical roots and more newer, contemporary roots of the synth and electronic-based instruments and music. And so then I connected with Prairie and Miriam, who then became our little like orchestra in the group. And then I was like, I'm curious about how this may sound of more like operatic vocals in the background, because I love experimenting of voice, and I feel like vocals are such a strong instrument in music, and there's so much you can do with your voice. So then Shahir and Reed came into the picture, and then we started to collaborate with our vocals and composing as a group. And then it was a journey that happened little by little by little, and then we became the group Vido. And Vido stems from my surname Bido, and Vido means life. So the whole root of this whole project is exploring all the veils of life and embracing life for what it is, whether it's the darkness of life or everything that is of light in life. So that's pretty much the whole trajectory of Vito.
That's amazing. It sounds like it's a snowball effect, right? Like once you start and then things just kind of build from there, and the community that you have, of course, is what helps make everything more fruitful, right? How is it working with like femmes in the city, and how is it to be creating music alongside really inspiring people whilst also holding true to your own vision for where this project will get taken?
Honestly, it's been so magical. It's so funny because Sunny, our bassist, is also in another band, and we love to talk about the differences between like how men create and how femmes create. And I feel there's just so much magic when femmes come together and create in a space. There's so much vision and a lot of communication, a lot of collective dreaming, a lot of inspiration, a lot of talk about personal experiences. And it truly feels like a collaborative space where we're all growing alongside one another, and that we're all building alongside one another. And it's truly has been such an enriching experience to be in the same room with all my bandmates, because each of them are so so deeply talented in their practice and contribute to the project in such unique and essential ways. And sometimes I do think like, wow, like, you know, these folks are even more talented than me. Like I'm just so inspired. So I feel when femmes come together to create, it's this sort of magic that that cannot be recreated anywhere else but in that space. So yeah,
that sounds amazing. And I think that a lot of people can resonate with the fact of hearing music that femmes create. You know, I feel my experience listening to the debut of your EP, it was absolutely amazing to like get a kind of visceral sonic experience that really made all of your senses kind of be, I guess, tantalized, if some would say. How does live performance manifest in your creative process, and how does it feel to in some ways be more than just your voice? You are also the presence that you guys have on stage is amazing. You guys have an amazing costume, I think, background, and there's a whole world building aspect in it. So for listeners that may not be obviously aware, like what is the genre that you are working in, and how do you work with, you know, bringing the music and also the live performance together?
Let me think. So yeah, first I want to say it's so funny because throughout my life, even though I've always made music and been involved with music, I'm a very shy person. So I always laugh at the fact that I ended up in a career that that requires a lot of stage presence. So, but I feel when I'm on stage and presenting these pieces, I feel like I'm transforming to a different person. So I'm a different person on stage, and I'm reenacting all of these works. So it doesn't feel too bad. Mm. What I love about the performance aspect, it gives people a chance to be immersed in the world of Vido and be more immersed in the poetry and the emotions behind the poetry. Because I feel when I'm performing, I'm able to convey these feelings more, and compared to hearing it on streaming platforms. So I feel like it gives people more of an understanding of what these poems mean when we're performing them. And when it comes to the visual aspect of these shows, so each show I have like a different theme correlating to each of the songs. So for our debut show, I was inspired by willow trees. So I handcrafted everyone's headdresses. And the headdresses were inspired by our song, The Plow, which is a song that I wrote 10 years ago and didn't think I'd ever perform and in front of anyone. So, so very inspired by willow trees. And then our most recent show, where we were opening for Omar Doom, I was inspired by Journey to Planet Lilies, so I created the Doomed Forest. So I went to Stanley Park, I believe, and I took a walk with my partner, and he helped me pick out branches from some of the trees and bushes and grounds. So we were just kind of forging things that would look very beautiful, like on headdresses. So I created these intricate headpieces for everyone in the band to wear and be like the Doomed Forest. So, wow. And then our next show, the October 16th one, which is our EP release show with Elisa Thorne. It's going to be, so everyone's headpieces are going to be inspired by dark nocturnal mist. So I'm going to take fabrics and create like headpieces out of fabric. So I'm still trying to figure out the mechanics of that. And then I'm going to be a swan. So I'm going to be like a type of swan. So I'm going to buy like the swan headpiece with the feathers, and then a nice like white or black dress. So I'm trying to figure that out. So, and throughout the whole Vido world, we use the swan motif a lot, and I feel the swan represents like eternity and devotion and passion, because swans are very devoted to one another, and I feel Vido has the same parallels to the swan. There's a lot of devotion and passion within Vido as well. And then the whole genre of music that we're working in. So I am so inspired by goth artists. I love goth music. And I understand that our work is not traditional goth music at all. So I mostly call it like dark ethereal. So it takes a lot of inspiration by goth music and goth vocals, and takes a lot of inspiration from gothic literature and gothic poetry. Within like the gothic world, there's a lot of play with death, grief, transformation, devotion, passion. Mm-hmm. So it's a very deeply romantic art form. And I love it so much, and I enjoy experimenting with that genre and being inspired by it to create my own genre, if you want to say. But I'm very inspired by a lot of goth musicians, and even though I'm not at all like a traditional goth artist at all. So that's pretty much the genre of work. I would say it's more experimental, orchestral, and dark, but not goth.
I think that's what's great about genre blending and in general, you know, having the inspirations be from something that might be a kind of prescriptive, you know, like genre, very like clear what can fit within it and without, but everything influences everything, right? Inspiration can be even taken from a Stanley Park bush, you know? I think that that ability to blend both the reality and then the mysterious or mystical, you know, is something that I found to be really engaging about your performance and your music. I'm curious on those themes of like kind of transformation and, you know, darkness and love. Like, how do you find your sense of, I guess, artistry within all of these themes? And I mean, you talked about taking pieces from 10 years ago that you've written and reviving them and kind of reincorporating all aspects of your identity within this project. And I'm curious on how that process looks, like battling or not battling, but, you know, trying to blend together all these different genres and ideas and themes and into a coherent like project. Like, what is your art, I guess, artist way like?
My artist way. Now I'm thinking about the book. Have you done the book before?
I haven't. I've definitely tried to do it with my mother before, and then we just get to like the first few things, and then we just kind of have more fun just hanging out than doing the actual artist way. But I like the concept of an artist's way. I don't think there's only one, you know.
I love that. I'm gonna see if I have time to try it out. But yeah, so my whole process, if you wanna say. So our bigger project, which is the developing LP, Veil of the Machines, which is the baby that I'm still working on. So I'll talk a little bit about it because I feel it summarizes the whole, my whole process and intention, especially with Vido and how Vido started and why. So with Veil of the Machines, it came from like, it came from a dream. So this happened last year, last summer. And this is when Sunny and I were first experimenting with bass and with, you know, with the Omnicord and all these things. And I was like, I really love where this is going, but I'm trying to, figure out like what is the path this is going to take. And my songs are already giving me the answer to that, but I'm trying to formulate like what is the bigger story of like of all of this. So, I remember I had a dream a week later after, jamming with Sunny, and I had a dream I was like in the belly of a spaceship, and within the spaceship, I was surrounded by all these machines covered with black lace, and each time I would unveil a machine, I would have to solve a puzzle that the machine was asking me to solve. And each time I solved the puzzle, I received a secret from the universe. I received something from my ancestors, and I became closer to understanding humanity and what it's about. I realized that the machines in the dreams resembled society's progression into modernity, and the rapid development of like technology as well, and how that's keeping us further away from our humanity and further away from our ancestral teachings as well. And then the veils represented how specifically Western societies like to conceal grief, and the entire story behind Veil of the Machines is uncovering grief and embracing grief for what it is. And the question always stems back to like, what would happen to art and music and our sense of humanity and the meaning of humanity when we embrace grief for what it is in its wholeness. And when we do embrace grief, then there are pathways for like collective healing, and there are pathways becoming closer to even deeper understanding about each other, yourself, and the whole reasoning behind humanity. And through, you know, my ancestral teachings, like I'm from Puerto Rico, and in Puerto Rico, like our indigenous nation is Taíno, so which is also part of my ancestry and my heritage. And so a lot of the indigenous teachings always talk about death being the beginning of something, never the end. Mm-hmm. And it talks about how grief is always the start of your own personal renewal. Mm-hmm. And it is such different language to how like Western societies talk about mm-hmm. grief and death. It always talking about like conceal it, try to get over it. It's very like finite language. Mm-hmm. And I feel like once we embrace the darkness that comes with the human cycle, then we can also see there's a lot of hope for our own evolution as well. So like Veil of the Machines is this whole, you know, story of really embracing life for what it is, even the hardest parts, and building a new relationship with grief as well, and another side of grief. And I feel that also stems back to like Gothic art as well, because a lot of Gothic poetry and literature always plays around with those darker meanings of love mm-hmm. and life that may seem a little bit macabre to a lot of people, but at the same time, it's also touching on the other side of existence, the other side of love, the other side of humanity. And it's a yin and yang. And mm-hmm. And then stemming back to our name, Vido, it's about life. And it's about the parts of life that we often don't talk about. And also... and for myself personally, it's a way for me to build, you know, deeper and different perspectives about life and grief and death and alchemy and transformation as well. And I feel like through my own writings and lyrics and composing and collaboration with the band, I'm even learning new things because everyone is bringing their own life into the project as well and their own perspectives. And yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. I think that the story behind an album is often like overlooked, I think, in recent like ideations of music. A lot of people are trying to just release the newest single or like trying to get, you know, their name out and, you know, in whatever packageable way it is. And I think that there's a really keen desire in our current society for slower forms of art, you know, like art that makes you stop and think, and then it's not just like easily consumable in 15 seconds, right? And I think that the way that you were describing the relationship building of an album, right? Like it takes you through a journey and makes you feel a lot of different things and go through a sort of transformation, is so inspiring. And I think that aspect of tying back in your heritage, right? I think that to me is what I'm really curious about. Like, how do you, as somebody who, you know, has been from so many places and, you know, you're trying to create art in a way that is true to yourself, like how do you create that connection within your music to your heritage and also to, I guess, your femininity as well? It's a big part of that, which I'm not sure if you adhere to those ideas of femininity or not. I'd be really interested to hear that as well.
Yeah, so being in the diaspora, sometimes it is challenging to find ways to feel connected to your heritage, especially, you know, being in Vancouver, like sometimes I feel like I'm the only Puerto Rican here. So there's not really a lot of Puerto Rican community compared to Florida. So when it comes to that, like right now I am, you know, crossing my fingers. I submitted a grant to Canada Council so I can find some time and fly back to Puerto Rico and do some research and relationship building and collaboration in the island with artists and cultural workers as well in the community there, so I can reconnect and truly build more true work that's also built by, you know, by the voices of Puerto Ricans, so that I can, you know, immortalize those stories as well. Because I feel the beautiful thing about music, like everything is just immortalized in a time capsule. So I will love to go back and create like a musical archive of my time there, and especially like learning and reconnecting and also challenging my own personal perspectives on, you know, grief and mourning and death and of course like learn something new as well. So that is a, you know, a big way I would say like a lot of artists you know, do they always have to, you know, find ways to travel or do research or reconnect. And especially like for me, you know, being in the diaspora, like the only way to really create like true work that is true to my culture is to go back to the island. Mm-hmm. And also like a lot of those roots that I bring come from memory from my childhood as well, and the things that I learned growing up, and so I apply that to my work as well. So a lot of my work when it comes to my culture is very much stemmed from memory, which is kind of funny to think about, and a lot of it is not even taking from the now, because it's just been so long since I've been with, you know, Puerto Rican community and traveling around. So, but I've been finding a lot of interesting gems within, you know, my, like my memories and how they relate to like my current life at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, but I feel that's diaspora art in general, because a lot of us only really have the memory of our culture and how, and we're now finding ways to relate to those memories to our current state now. So it's really interesting. It's like a time capsule in a way, like a time machine. And then when it comes to femininity, I feel it's funny because like I see myself like as a genderqueer person, but I'm very much, you know, feminine. I'm a femme. I don't really think about it too much, like, but I know like in general, like when it comes to like my presentation and who I am and how I move through the world is very feminine, even though I kind of swim between a lot of things at the same time. And I always say that creation and art is the most feminine thing of them all, because, you know, when you're creating, it's a very feminine form and it's very much linked to Venus, it's very much linked to the womb, it's very much linked to multiplying. So, yeah, so I feel very much, you know, if you want to say like, in, you know, in my deepest power when I'm like creating and collaborating and building and multiplying and, you know, creating momentum, it feels very like feminine to me, because I feel if you want to talk about like spirituality, like I feel you know, feminine energy is an energy that expands. So I feel very much I feel very much like, I don't know, like floaty in that. Like it feels good and it feels nice. And then, I don't know. I can go into like a rabbit hole of like queerness and femininity, masculinity, but I think that summarizes it all about like going into a big rabbit hole.
No, I think the rabbit holes are where we all like to live, you know? I find it to be super inspiring the way that you, I think, present in such like a fluid way, but also are very like confident, I think, in the fact that it doesn't really matter too much about adhering to whatever standard that somebody has of you, and more matters what you want to present and